Welcome to Workplace English Pod, a great way to improve your English on the go. Workplace English Pod is brought to you by Workplace English Training e-Platform, the Internet's largest business English resource for learners and teachers of business English. You can subscribe to Workplace English Training e-Platform at www.workplace-english-training.com and get access to podcast transcripts, study notes, interactive exercises, and thousands of additional resources in the training center. Business presentations. Handling questions with authority. At some point in your presentation, you will be expected to answer questions from your audience. They might have some important questions that need to be answered before they buy into your message. Handling their questions with authority can make the difference for you between a successful presentation and a waste of time. This is the opportunity for the audience to test your knowledge on the topic and commitment to your message. To some people, the question and answer session can be the most exciting part of the presentation. To others, it can be their worst nightmare simply because they have to speak on the spot without notes. In fact, there are some presenters who purposely avoid the question and answer session altogether. In this podcast lesson, you're going to listen to the final part of two business presentations. You decide whether the presenters handled the question and answer sessions with authority. You're now going to listen to a question and answer session after a presentation that Brad, a sales manager with a garment fashion chain, has just made for his team. Brad ends his presentation with a brief summary of what he has said and invites the listeners to ask questions. To conclude, I believe the new marketing strategy will help us to meet the sales target for the next quarter by targeting a wider age range of customers. I think that just about wraps up the presentation. Thank you all very much for taking the time to listen. Does anyone have any questions?
I have one. You mentioned that the previous marketing strategy we used was unsuccessful, but didn't we meet the required sales targets when we used it?
Thanks, Monica. That's a good point. Monica would like to know why we're dropping the previous sales strategy when it helped us meet the required targets. What I meant was that the new strategy should help us reach a wider clientele. The previous one, while practical, targeted our old customer base without attempting to reach a broader market.
Well, what's necessarily wrong with that?
Nothing at all. But I believe the new strategy we've proposed will accomplish what the earlier one did and more.
I agree with Monica. The old strategy was pretty useful. But Brad has a point. We need to target a different range of customers as well if we're to increase the popularity of the new summer range. Brad, do you have any specific age group that you think the new strategy should be focused on?
Thanks, Sally. Well, I was hoping for some feedback on the specifics of the new marketing plan before we went into the target groups. What do you think of introducing a new range for teenagers?
Sounds good. But will that be cost-effective in terms of new designs and production?
I believe it will. For instance, we could use the same design templates that we have for older age groups and introduce motifs such as logos, accessories, and more color choices for teenagers.
That could work. But sticking specifically to marketing, what kind of advertising options are we looking at here?
As of now, we're planning scripts for radio and television advertisements.
How about internet advertising as well?
I'm afraid I'm not really clear on how that works, but I can do some research and update you on that in our next meeting. Would you have any suggestions on how it could be useful?
Well, something like an online contest could make our sales stronger. Winners could get gift coupons for use in our stores.
That's an excellent suggestion. Thanks, Monica. I'll make a note of that. Are there any other questions? As we heard, the question and answer session is almost a discussion in which the listeners get to contribute some of their thoughts on what the speaker has said. The speaker also has to know what he is talking about and ensure that he gives satisfactory answers to the questions asked. Brad concludes his marketing presentation by summarizing his points briefly, thanking his audience for listening, and then opening the session to the others for questions. He says, "To conclude, I believe the new marketing strategy will help us to meet the sales target for the next quarter by targeting a wider age range of customers. I think that just about wraps up the presentation. Thank you all very much for taking the time to listen. Does anyone have any questions?" Note that it is also possible for people to ask questions during the presentation if they want to make clarifications about something that has been said. However, it is more common for listeners to make a note of what they want to ask and then voice their concerns during the Q&A session, which is set aside exclusively for the speaker to take questions after the presentation. A speaker may also choose to take questions after a particular section of the presentation by asking, "Are there any questions on what I've said so far?" Brad's first question is from Monica, who quickly summarizes a point that Brad has made and then asks her question to help the others see the context of her question. She says,
"You mentioned that the previous marketing strategy we used was unsuccessful, but didn't we meet the required sales targets when we used it?"
Brad begins his response by thanking Monica for her question and saying, "Thanks, Monica, that's a good point." He also repeats her question before he answers it by saying, "Monica would like to know why we're dropping the previous sales strategy when it helped us meet the required targets." Repeating questions that you are asked has two objectives: to confirm if you have got the question right, and also to ensure that everyone in the audience has heard the question. Brad then goes on to answer the question by giving details and making clarifications. "What I meant was that the new strategy should help us reach a wider clientele. The previous one, while practical, targeted our old customer base without attempting to reach a broader market." Brad uses the phrase, "What I meant was," to indicate that he is clarifying something he has said during his presentation. To answer Monica's next question, he says, "I believe the new strategy we've proposed will accomplish what the earlier one did and more." Phrases such as "I believe" and "I think" can help the listeners determine that you are expressing your point of view on something rather than stating a fact. The next question is from Sally, who agrees with both Monica and Brad and clarifies her position before she asks her question. She says,
"I agree with Monica. The old strategy was pretty useful. But Brad has a point. We need to target a different range of customers as well if we're to increase the popularity of the new summer range. Brad, do you have any specific age group that you think the new strategy should be focused on?"
Sally ensures that her question is not too broad and that it is focused on a specific aspect of Brad's presentation. Let's hear her question again.
"Brad, do you have any specific age group that you think the new strategy should be focused on?"
In response, Brad asks for suggestions and also makes one of his own. He says, "Thanks, Sally. Well, I was hoping for some feedback on the specifics of the new marketing plan before we went into the target groups. What do you think of introducing a new range for teenagers?" Brad's response allows his listeners to determine that this is an aspect of the new strategy that has not yet been discussed, but that he would like to take some preliminary suggestions on the matter. He makes a suggestion by asking, "What do you think of introducing a new range for teenagers?" By doing so, he is asking a question as well as giving a suggestion, and leaving his response open to encourage the others to participate in the discussion. Monica's question on using the internet as an advertising forum is actually more a suggestion than a question, although it is phrased as a question. She asks,
"How about internet advertising as well?"
By phrasing her suggestion as a question, she is letting the speaker know that she wants to know what he thinks of her suggestion. In this case, as it can often happen during presentations, someone in the audience has asked a question to which the speaker does not know the answer. If you do not know the answer to a question, remain calm. There are at least four ways in which you can handle the situation. Let's see what Brad does. He says, "I'm afraid I'm not really clear on how that works, but I can do some research and update you on that in our next meeting. Would you have any suggestions on how it could be useful?" Here, Brad combines two strategies that you can use when you don't know the answer to a question you've been asked. First, he says that he does not know much about internet advertising, but that he will find out more about it. Secondly, he also asks Monica if she has anything to say in response to her own question. You can also suggest another source that can provide more information on what has been asked, or respond by talking about something related. For example, Brad could have said, "I'm afraid I'm not absolutely clear on how that works, but I can do a bit of research and update you on that in our next meeting." An alternative form of advertising I think we could consider is... Monica's response offers more advice on how this form of advertising can be used. She says,
Well, something like an online contest could make our sales stronger. Winners could get gift coupons for use in our stores.
Note that suggestions phrased as questions do not need a detailed response unless the speaker does not agree with the suggestion. If not, he or she responds by disagreeing and also by pointing out why he or she thinks the suggestion is not valid. Here, Brad agrees with Monica and responds by saying, That's an excellent suggestion. Thanks, Monica. I'll make a note of that. As we have seen, Brad remains courteous to the questioners by thanking them often and also makes informative responses that directly address the questions that he has been asked. You are now going to listen to a Q&A session handled by Anne, who has just finished a presentation on how her company can address the training requirements of her listeners' company. Note that Anne is from a different company, and her focus is to convince her audience that her company is the best option in terms of their training needs.
To summarize, our state-of-the-art software is one of a kind and will be tailored to your exact requirements so that the individual needs of your teams can be met. Well, that's about it from me. I'd like to thank you all for coming in today. And now I'd be happy to answer any questions you may have. Well, one of the most common questions we get asked is about the kind of trainers that we have. Would anyone like to know a little bit about their backgrounds?
Sure. It would be useful to know about that.
Great. We have over 30 trainers at the moment. They've all had extensive experience in training and have also undergone a 60-day training program at the time of joining our firm so that they understand our methodologies and approaches. Do you also have train-the-trainer sessions for them? Thanks, Lisa. Lisa would like to know if we conduct train-the-trainer sessions. Yes, we do have train-the-trainer programs once every 8 weeks so that our trainers are kept up to date with the latest strategies and developments in the field.
You also mentioned that you have a specialized MS Office training program. Do you think this could be cut down to just MS Excel for our employees? We don't need to give them training in the rest of the MS Office suite.
Certainly. Would you like to retain the 4-week duration or make it shorter?
I think 2 weeks should do, since it's just one program.
That can certainly be arranged. If you let us know about 10 days in advance, we can create some more custom-made modules for your employees.
Sounds good. Thanks. Shall we wind up if there are no more questions?
Just one more thing, if you don't mind. Anne, do you think you could do a one-on-one demonstration for me of how your online interactive system works, so I can do an appraisal of it for my team?
Of course. I'd be happy to demonstrate the system for you.
Great. Do you think spending time with an interactive system will really help the trainees? Their work isn't really interactive in nature. They need to develop templates on their own.
I understand your concerns, Lisa. We've developed the interactive system mainly to help trainees access the help feature as they work and to test their knowledge step by step as they learn. We believe this helps to break down the information into smaller and more easily understandable units. Does that answer your question?
Yes, thanks. Let's discuss this further during the demonstration.
In this dialogue, we see that Anne makes clarifications about her company's training methodologies for some potential clients. The audience asks questions to get further details about the services Anne's company offers. Note that Anne gives quite detailed answers to each of the questions she is asked. Many of her answers are not limited to brief responses concerning only the main focus of the question, but also add information that contributes to the value of what she is saying. Firstly, we see a scenario that you may be faced with after a presentation. No one seems to have any questions. This may sometimes happen because the audience needs a quick warm-up, which you can do by suggesting a question of your own. For example, you could ask a simple yes-no question to encourage the audience to start speaking. This is what Anne does here. She says,
Well, one of the most common questions we get asked is about the kind of trainers that we have. Would anyone like to know a little bit about their backgrounds?
You can also go straight into answering a question that is commonly asked. For example, Anne could have said, Well, one of the most frequent questions we get asked is about the kind of trainers that we have. Let me tell you a little bit about their backgrounds. Anne goes on to give a brief description of the backgrounds and qualifications of the trainers at her company. She says,
"We have over 30 trainers at the moment. They've all had extensive experience in training and have also undergone a 60-day training program at the time of joining our firm so that they understand our methodologies and approaches."
As we can see, she also highlights the fact that the trainers are given in-house training on how to conduct the programs, which makes her description relevant to the question. Pointing out how information you are providing is beneficial to your listeners is an important part of answering an open question to ensure that your listeners can easily identify the relevance of what you are saying. Lisa then asks a specific question by saying,
"Do you also have train-the-trainer sessions for them?"
Note that it is actually possible to answer such a question with merely a yes or a no, but this is not usually done. Instead, the presenter can begin with a yes or a no and then follow it up with more information that will help the listener clarify her concern. Let's hear Lisa's specific question again.
"Do you also have train-the-trainer sessions for them?"
Anne says in response,
"Thanks, Lisa. Lisa would like to know if we conduct train-the-trainer sessions. Yes, we do have train-the-trainer programs once every 8 weeks, so that our trainers are kept up to date with the latest strategies and developments in the field."
Anne first thanks Lisa for her question, and then repeats it back to the audience to ensure that they've heard it. This question-repeating strategy also gives Anne a little more time to think before she answers the question. We also see that Anne makes clarifications of her own sometimes. When Alan asks her about a specific training program, she asks for more information to ensure that she can give him the correct information that he requires. Alan asks, "You also mentioned that you have a specialized MS Office training program. Do you think this could be cut down to just MS Excel for our employees? We don't need to give them training in the rest of the MS Office suite." Anne responds by confirming that this is possible, but also asks a question of her own. Let's listen again to what she says.
"Certainly. Would you like to retain the 4-week duration or make it shorter?"
It is polite to begin questions with a phrase such as, "Would you like?" rather than, "Do you want?" Lisa's next question is a specific request for a demonstration. She wants to know if Anne can make a presentation for her so that she can find out more about the training software that Anne's company has developed. She says,
"Just one more thing, if you don't mind. Anne, do you think you could do a one-on-one demonstration for me of how your online interactive system works, so I can do an appraisal of it for my team?"
Again, this is a closed question that could be answered simply with a yes or no, but Anne clarifies her willingness to do so by saying, "Of course, I'd be happy to demonstrate the system for you." Repeating a few important words or phrases from the question can show your listener that you have been paying attention to what they have said. Finally, Anne answers a question that seems to question an aspect of the training methodology she has described. Lisa wants to know if the online system Anne's company has developed is really beneficial.
"Do you think spending time with an interactive system will really help the trainees? Their work isn't really interactive in nature. They need to develop templates on their own."
Anne's response indicates to Lisa that she has understood her concerns, and she also adds more information to illustrate how the system can be beneficial. She says,
"I understand your concerns, Lisa. We've developed the interactive system mainly to help trainees access the help feature as they work, and to test their knowledge step by step as they learn. We believe this helps to break down the information into smaller and more easily understandable units. Does that answer your question?"
By saying, "Does that answer your question?" Anne wants to clarify if her answer has satisfied Lisa, or if Lisa needs further discussion or information on the topic. It is useful to ask if you have answered someone's question satisfactorily, since they will appreciate your covering all the bases. In this podcast lesson, you listened to two presenters who were able to handle their question and answer sessions with confidence and authority. For your reference, we've prepared an advice sheet based on the techniques used by these two presenters. The advice sheet also includes a list of useful expressions that you can use in the question and answer session of your next presentation. You can subscribe online at www.workplace-english-training.com.